Thank you for tuning in to the Covenant Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. The Covenant Podcast is a ministry of Covenant Baptist Church located in Indianapolis, Indiana. And now, here is today's speaker.
Now, this is not without hope. And I'm not saying that we go down this path and have to live perfectly. I know this is not true. Heaven knows this is not true. I know this is not true, and I'm thankful that it is not true, because you and I would have no hope. Do whatever he tells you. Just convinced beyond any doubt that he wants me to do this. And once you get there, you back up and you put that sentence in reverse. Whatever he tells you, do. Right? Do it. I wonder how many blessings are just past that one line of doing it. How many blessings are not experienced because we know, we understand, but we never do. In all of eternity, in all of time, think of every righteous, godly intention that was never acted upon. God knows them. God knows every one of our opportunity costs. Because we didn't do what he told us to do. Do not get discouraged in this. I was taking a lady home the other day and began to talk with her. I don't remember how we got on the subject. Try to make this subject come up when it can, and talked about church, and she was asking about me and bivocational ministry, and she said, I've not been in church in quite a little while, and I could tell, and she said, I know I should be. She's really reprimanding herself and just really getting hard on her. I said, I understand what you're saying, but just remember, it's our enemy that pounds us into the ground. It's our Father who scolds us and it hurts, but there's love there, and he just wants you to come back to him if you know him. Just go back to him. So don't hear what I'm saying and say, "Boy, I'm guilty of all of these things," and allow Satan to go, "See how miserable you are." Don't let him do that. Just remember it. I'm to do whatever he tells me to do. And maybe I haven't in the past, but today, December 9th, is it? December 9th, from this point now, at least as far as I can do for today, I'm going to remember I'm to serve him in every manner and every facet of my life, and now he is in charge, and I'm going to do whatever he tells me to do. And I'm not going to lose today because of yesterday. I'm not going to sacrifice tomorrow because of yesterday. That's where Satan will leave you. Number four, if you want to be a follower of Christ, you better expect the miraculous in your life. If you want to be a follower of Christ, you better expect the miraculous and allow God to do what seems unimaginable in your eyes. We won't take time to reread verses 6 through 10, but what happens is a miracle. In my own following of Christ, I think this is an area of focus, as we would say on an employee review. You can't say negative things like this is an area you're bad at. This is an area of focus, right? This is an area of opportunity. And I think that's true. This in my own life. I think I need to expect the miraculous more than I do. I need to expect God to work in miraculous ways beyond even my wildest imaginations. The actions of these servants prove it as we think through it. Though right and obedient, they could only put water into the stone jars. That's all that they could do, isn't it? It's all the servants could do, is do what he told them to do. Mary Lees looks at them, says, "Do whatever he tells you to do." And Jesus says, "Fill the stone jars with water." And what were these stone jars? 20, 30 gallons each. These were stone jars, by the way, and I want you to think about this. These were stone jars. What was it said that they were used for? Purification. What does that mean? It means they washed their hands and their feet in them. And that's where Jesus is going to supply the wine. These were not wine jugs. These were stone water jars used for purification. And Jesus comes and he says to them, pour water into these jars. We can walk through what we just said. Do whatever he tells you to do. That's strange. Seems odd, Jesus. These are stone jars used for washing, and it's just water, but we'll do it. But did you notice, by the way, did you get a single record here of them going and questioning the Lord? No, they just did it. Would to God I would be like that much more. Just do it. We do need to be careful and cautious, of course, as 2 Peter tells us, to try the spirits, make sure they're of God. But if it's of God and it's him, then just do it. Their obedience, though, alone, their obedience alone could not change 1 ounce of this water into wine, could they? Couldn't. All they could do is do what Jesus said to do. Their obedience alone did not obligate Jesus to turn it into wine. Their obedience alone did not change that water into wine. The water was changed into wine only because Jesus performed a miracle. That's it. And the same is true today. God is the one who has the power. In similar fashion, our obedience alone is never enough. Our obedience is necessary in some respects, don't misunderstand, but it is not enough. Our reading of Scripture is necessary, but it is never enough. Our preaching of God's Word is necessary, but it's never enough. Our coming to church is necessary, it's never enough. Our effort to live a godly life is necessary, but it's never enough. At some point, the water's got to be turned to wine. At some point, God's got to work a miracle. Bowing your knee and repeating a prayer before a preacher is perhaps necessary. It's never enough. And it's not even necessary. It's certainly never enough. Calling upon God is necessary. It's never enough. There must be a work of God who only He can perform. There's some point the water's got to turn to wine. And by the way, those jars have to be made clean. It's only something that God can do. If you're going to follow Jesus in this life, you better expect the miraculous, because you're going to find out that all your efforts alone are not enough. This next February is going to mark the 27th year that I have been trying to obey the call to preach in my life. None of my efforts, not a single time, have my efforts ever been enough. Certainly to save a single soul, none of my efforts have been enough to lift up a discouraged child of God. None of my efforts have been enough to argue anyone into the kingdom. Though those things are my deepest desire, it's only by the miraculous working of the Spirit of God among us that these things happen. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, I need to remember that ever and always. Jesus says, pour water into the jars, but it's not my pouring water into those jars that turned it into wine. It was Him. It was Him. Finally, fifth, if you want to be a follower of Christ, you're going to have to believe. Believe. I think that's what this is all about in verse 11. Why is this? This seems like a strange... Sometimes people might think this is just an occasion for an excuse for Jesus to perform His first miracle. Oh, no. No, we're told the reason here. Verse 11, this, John says, the first of His signs. And John refers to these as signs, not miracles. This, the first of His signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested His glory. And His disciples believed in Him. Do you want to know the true benefit of miracles in your life? It's not that the cancer's gone. It's not that the tumor shrinks. It's not that your children are healed. It's not that your job is made secure. It's not that through some miracle of God, a relationship is restored. Do you want to know the real benefit of the miraculous working of God? Your belief increases. That's what it's about. And sometimes it's a miracle that God allows difficulties in our life. Have you ever had a problem in your life where you thought, what were the odds of this problem happening? You know how slim the odds were that I would catch this disease? What are the odds that it would be me? Maybe it's a miracle. So that you might come to believe God and believe Him and trust Him more. I don't know. But if you're going to be a follower of Christ, I know this. You're going to have to believe Him. This miracle, it wasn't about the wine. It wasn't about the bride or the groom or the guest or the wedding at all. It was about the increased belief that resulted from the work of Christ in their midst. It is inescapable. It is inescapable for us to live a life as a follower of Christ is to live a life of belief in Him. Not a belief in yourself. Not a belief in your parents. Not a belief in your country. Not a belief in Christian principles. Not a belief in a certain church. It is a belief and a trust in Christ. It is a life that is born first in belief. You must be born again. It is that born again experience begins with belief in Christ. And it is a life that then is not only born in belief, it is sustained in belief. It is a life that is born and sustained in belief. Belief, by the way, in a skeptical world. These young people, as I look at them, I know something of the world that they're getting ready to inherit. And young people, it's a skeptical world. If you know the Lord, you're called to follow Him in the midst of that skepticism. Because He's told you. Because you know what He has said. And you're His follower. Every day, in every circumstance. In the midst of a world that belittles and mocks and ridicules and doubts, we are followers of Jesus Christ. We are each one, in conclusion, going to live our lives following something. Something is going to lead us through our life. And maybe it's going to be many somethings. Maybe you're following something now and you weren't always following that desire, that thought before, but maybe you're switching from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, looking for something to lead you to a place of blessedness and contentment. And the enemy will dangle all sorts of things in front of you to follow. But we are each one going to live lives following something. As you picture, and as I call you to do so right now, as you picture the end of your life in light of what you are now following in life, where will it lead you? What are you following, and where do you suppose it's leading you when you spend your last day on earth? Is it going to lead you to a place of emptiness because you followed the empty promises of worldly wealth? We could be here for hours recounting all those who've climbed that ladder and found it empty. From Solomon to our popular culture today, people have learned the emptiness of wealth apart from meaning. Is that you're following in your life going to lead you in the end to bitterness because you followed the lies that meaning and contentment are found in this world? Is what you're following today going to lead you to a life where you are alone because you lived your life so selfishly? And by the way, that's the reward of selfishness, loneliness. Is it going to lead you to a place of fear because you never bowed your knee to the God that shortly you will meet? Or is what you're following today, is who you're following today, Jesus Christ, and that last day you spend your dollar with a smile on your face because you know shortly you will be in His very presence, exalting Him, praising Him, in the midst of glory that we cannot even fathom. To each one of you, I say, take part in this life as a follower of Christ. Don't divide it. Live in this world. Never be of it. But don't hide from it. And as you do so, remember always that He is in charge. And do whatever He tells you to do, all the while remembering that nothing happens apart from God's miraculous power. And finally, and ever and always, be believing Him no matter the circumstance. 5 lessons to be a follower of Christ. I know I'm going to spend some time with this. I pray that God would lead us to a greater following of Him. If you don't know Him today, I can't beg you enough. There's no amount of pride that I am unwilling now to let go of to see you come to Him. Because He loves you, He stretched His arms out and He died for you. So that you might be saved. Come to Him today, become a follower of Christ. If you do know Him, but maybe your following has faltered, been there. We've all been there. Take these 5 lessons, reapply them to your heart, and say, today I am a follower of Christ, and I'm going to spend my dollar today doing that very thing. I followed Christ. God help us. Let's have some.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to today's program. Please visit us at www.covenantmbc.com to access our podcast archive and learn more about the ministry of Covenant Baptist Church. Visit us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/covenantinindy.